And he's real whether you feel him in your soul or not. God is real all by himself. And it's good for you to feel him in your soul, because that means that you have a relationship with him and that you have faith in him. But God is self-existent. That's what he meant when he said, I am that I am. And we love praising him, for he is worthy of all of our adoration. We thank our song leader. We thank those who led us in prayer and administered the Lord's Supper, those who are ushering. We just thank you for the reverent way and the enthusiastic way in which you carry out the ministry and service of worship this day. We are grateful to all of you who are members of this congregation for your dedication and your commitment. And don't take it for granted that you are a member of this congregation. You have much meaning to God and to each of us, and we thank God for you. We miss you when you are not here, and this joy when we see you, and just know that you are loved. We recognize this week has been a very trying week in the lives of some families where you've lost loved ones, but yet God is with you, and God is continuing to comfort you and lead you. And then there are those who have had those moments where you celebrate their in the first service, we talked about some who were celebrating some accomplishments. And so life has that that even flow, and so ebb and flow. And we understand that, but in the midst of it all, we praise God, and we know that he is in control. I thank God for just being here. Let me try one more verse of that song. Y'all don't mind? All right, just one more verse. No. There are some things I may not know. Oh, there are some places I can go, I cannot go, but I am sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Oh yes, God is real. He's so real in my soul. My God is real, for he has watched and made me whole. Oh, his love for me, it was just like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Thank you. I want you to study with me. I started out last Lord's Day, Revelation 22, and I shared with you from verses 1 through 3, and we talked about those things that are going to be in heaven. And I recognize that many of you want to go to heaven because you don't want to go to hell. And that's the only reason you want to go to heaven, is because you surely don't want to go to hell. And I was discussing this with a person, and I said, don't you want to go to heaven? She said, I sure know I don't want to go to hell. Amen. And so I understand that. And you know, it's like some boys who were shooting marbles, and a preacher came and asked them, don't y'all want to go to heaven? And the little boy just kept playing marbles and didn't even respond. And so the preacher said, don't y'all want to go to heaven when you die? And they said, oh, yeah, we want to go. And he said, but why didn't you respond when I asked you the first? He said, I thought you were trying to go now. And so the point is that, you know, we, now here's the point that I'm making. We want to go to heaven after we die. But right now, we're not looking for a train on the way to heaven. Amen. We feel pretty good right here. But here's what I want to do. This is what I want to do with these lessons. I want to try to paint the picture that God is painting. And if I can do a good job, I'm hoping that I can create within all of us a genuine desire to want to go to heaven. And I believe that's what John was trying to do. As he wrote the Revelation, helping us to see, he would use the words, these words are true, and these words are faithful, which means I'm not lying to you. I'm not giving you some fanciful type of existence. I'm talking about what is going to be real. And so, last week I shared with you the pure river. And then I shared with you the tree of life. And then I shared with you concerning no more curse. I got carried away on the curse, but I want to try to tell you that everything that I said to you was the truth. I just said it in a very comical way and probably not in an educated way. But I was really telling you the absolute truth about the fact that when we get to heaven, there'll be no more curse. This morning, what I want to do is go to the B part of verse number 3. And I want to begin here by showing you some other provisions and some of the wonderful things that are in heaven. The Bible says in verse number 3, there shall be no more curse. But now watch this. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. There shall be no night there. There's no need for a candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light. Talking about his people, he gives them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. If you're following me, I'm taking each verse and each point in the verse as a guide for our lesson. The first point that I want to share with you this morning is the fact that the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. Why didn't he just say the throne of God? Why does he say the throne of God and of the Lamb? I think it's obvious that God sits on the throne. But the emphasis is on the fact that Jesus Christ. But he didn't say the throne of Jesus Christ. He said the throne of the Lamb. Emphasizing the fact that the Lamb is the one who is Jesus, but he is the Lamb or the person of the Godhead that took on human flesh, came, dwelt among men, lived life, gave himself as a lamb for the sin of the world. This is a picture of victory for him. Having taken on the responsibility of the whole world, dying for their sin, When we get to heaven, we will see him in his glory. For he will be at the right hand of God, sitting on the throne of God. You and I will see a victorious Christ. Here's what I know about the Lamb. Many times when you think in terms of God, God is one who does not have flesh, bones, blood. He's a spirit. But here, when you look at Jesus, Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, is not a spirit. When you see him, you will see him as he is in his glorified body that he had here upon this earth. You will probably be able to see the nail prints in his hands. You'll probably be able to see where he was pierced. I know you say, well, Brother Gibbs, why is that important? Well, it must be important because when God identifies him, he identifies him as the Lamb. And the Lamb is that of sacrifice for the world. Another reason that I believe that he talks about being in heaven and the throne being in heaven is because of access. I believe that God is trying to tell us, when you get to heaven, you will have access to the throne. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. When I went to Washington, D.C., the White House was very, very important on my agenda to see. But they made me stand way away, and the White House was way over there. But I wanted to go inside. I wanted to see Mr. Trump, President Trump. I wanted to share with him some of my concerns about. But they wouldn't let me get in there. They wouldn't let me talk to him. I didn't have access to him. And they had guards and things like that. But when I get to heaven, I will have access to the throne of God. I will be able to see God for who he is and the Lamb as well as the Holy Spirit. And so when we think in terms of that. But then I like the fact that not only does the Bible say that the throne of God will be there? But another thing that I think is interesting is that he says, and his servants shall serve him. Notice, serve is a word which is used with worship, but it means that one is involved in ministry to and for. It is used for the Levitical priesthood in carrying out, watch this, carrying out duty in the service of the tabernacle. When you see this word that his servants shall serve him, I don't believe that we are going to heaven and we're just going to be singing and praying. I believe that that word serve helps us to understand that God is going to keep us involved in work. I don't know what that work and what my job will be and what responsibility he will place on those who go to heaven. I don't know all of that, but I know one thing. You're not going to get bored in heaven. God is going to see to it that you are busy doing something in service for him. I like that too, because I don't like being idle. I like being involved and having responsibility. God is going to allow us to have some kind of job in heaven. And when I get to heaven, you know, I think I hope he would give me an opportunity to suggest what I would like to do. And I would like to tell him, I say, well, God, if you ever make another universe, I'd like to be in charge of Mars. I don't know. I'm trying to paint a picture for you. And I'm just trying to help you to understand that God is going to allow us to be involved in something meaningful. And whatever it is, you will not get bored in heaven. And you will be involved in something very responsible when it comes to heaven. And so I look forward to whatever it is that God has in store. The next thing that I see is that the Bible says, they shall see his face.
Now, I thought that was interesting, that when you get to heaven, you will see his face. Again, this is speaking to the access and the intimacy that one will have with God. We will see his face. When you look at God in his relationship with his people in this life, in this world, there was no way for a man to see God's face and live. You remember Moses long years ago in the Old Testament, when Moses asked him to let me see your glory. And the Lord told him, said, now, no, you can't see me. You can't see me. And so he was so adamant about seeing him that the Lord said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to put you on this cliff, and I'll pass by you, and you'll see my glory. But when he passed by him, God put his hand over his face and over his eyes. And then when he removed his hand, only thing that Moses was able to see was his hinder part. But he was able to see his glory, but he never could see his face. You know, no man can see God's face in this life and live. But when you get to heaven, God is trying to let us know that you will see me for who I am, and you will be able to see my face. I like the fact that you and I will be able to live intimately with the Lord himself. Right now, I know you say, well, Brother Gibbs, I don't really sometimes feel him, and I'm not always able to just know that he is with me. When we get to heaven, you don't have to worry about that. I want to go to Revelation 21, and I want to look at verse number 3, and I want you to see how intimate the relationship will be between the Lord God and his people. And John said, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. How intimate is it, Brother Gibbs? The Bible said, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he that sat on the throne, watch this now, he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true, and these words are faithful. The mere fact that you and I will be able to be around the throne, have access to the throne. Kings would not allow just anybody to approach them. You had to be given permission. God wants us to know that when you get to heaven, you will be able to have access and you will have intimacy with those who occupy the throne, God himself. God will touch you. You'll be able to touch him. God will wipe away all of the tears from your eyes. God is trying to show us that it's a good thing to live with him. In the Garden of Eden, when God made man, I want you to listen to this well. When God made man, now this is a good point. When God made man, he made man in his image, and he made man in his likeness. And when he put man in the Garden of Eden, every evening, every day, God would come walking in the garden. God had fellowship with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. How do you know, Brother Gibbs? Listen to the conversation. When I heard thy voice, I hid myself. Well, you haven't been hiding before. Why are you hiding now? Sin has brought up a barrier where you no longer want to see the face of God. The beauty of heaven is that sin will be removed. All of the things that hinder us from being able to have perfect fellowship with God will be gone. And we will be able to live and dwell with him. Listen to this. God never made us to live here on this earth. God never intended for you and I to live here on this earth permanently. God has always intended that mankind would live eternally with him. God has always desired fellowship with those whom he has created. If you are so comfortable living here on this earth, I'm telling you, the reason that you are not really being satisfied, the reason that you are always troubled and you're always going through frustration is because you have not yet really come into the relationship for which you were made. You know, ladies and gentlemen, when I am away from, and I'm using this as an analogy, when I'm away from my home, I am in anxiety. I am troubled and frustrated because I'm in a place where I really don't belong. I'm careful about what I do, and I'm careful about what I, because I'm not at home. But in my home, listen, I can get comfortable in my home because I know this is where I belong. Now, that's in this, but please go with me now. In life, you will never feel comfortable in life. You're going to always be frustrated on your job. You're going to always be frustrated in your family. You're going to always be frustrated in your relationship with your friends. You're going to always have trouble. It's never going to be. The only time that you will ever find true peace, knowing that I have finally arrived where I truly belong, is when you get to heaven. You say, well, Brother Gibbs, I don't know what to expect. You don't have to worry about it. When you get there, you will be able to make the adjustment and have the realization that this is really home for me. You know, the Bible teaches us that we're only pilgrims traveling through this world. Listen to what Abraham said in Hebrews 11:13. He understood this. The Bible said these all died in faith, not having received the promises, I mean, Hebrews 11:13, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were, watch the word, strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they say such things and declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. As long as you're on this earth, you will never find a place where you have perfect peace and harmony. The only time you'll ever find that is where they look, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly country. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared a city for them. I know you say, well, Brother Gibbs, I really don't want to go to heaven. I'm going to tell you, you won't feel comfortable anywhere else but heaven. God really didn't even prepare hell for you. If you go to hell, you're not going to hell because he prepared it for you. He prepared hell for the devil and his angels. And so since you can't live where he lives, you didn't want to acknowledge him and didn't want to testify to him, then God said, well, I'll just send you over there where they are. But that's not where he made and prepared for you. Our permanent dwelling place is in heaven, with the God who made us in his image and in his likeness. And then the Bible says, and his name shall be in their forehead. I like the fact that he says their name shall be in their forehead. You know, name means ownership. Name here means likeness. God's character is impacted in the mind and in the person of his creation. God has stamped his image, his likeness, and his name on everything that he has made. Somebody said, well, Brother Gibbs, why is names important? Because a name represents you. A name is your life. A name is who you are. It speaks of the work you do, how you do it. Your name embodies your reputation. Why would God want to put his name in the forehead of those servants who have overcome and those servants who have made it to heaven? It's because God wants them to know that they are his ownership and they are in his likeness and he is well pleased with them. I watched some of us We like name brands. You know, what clothes do you wear? Name brand. What shoes do you wear? Name brand. What car do you wear? Drive a name brand. You know, you don't just say, "Well, I'm driving a car." No, you call the name of the car. Amen. Amen. Unless it's a Toyota, but the point is that you and I, listen to me, you and I like names, name brand, because that speaks to the quality. I had a conversation with one of our members, and she was talking about, you know, the coat that she was wearing, and it was a nice coat, and she was telling me about the coat and things like that, and I said, "Oh, that's nice, but evidently I was not showing a lot of, you know, excitement about the fact that this was this coat. And so she said, "Well, do you know this is a so-and-so coat?" And I said, "Well, that really doesn't ring a lot of, but I could see the excitement." And I said, "Oh, this must mean something." I said, "Oh, isn't that nice?" And so after I got real excited about it, then we could move on. But listen to me. You know, we like that about, we like that about things. You know what I'm saying? Is that if we have it, we want, you know, we want the name of it to be seen. You know, you take your coat off, and you know, if it's from a certain place, you fold your coat where the name can be seen. All right, I'm sorry, baby. I'm getting over there. Okay, I'm moving over into the other area. All right, okay. See, she got on me last week, and she told me, "See, stop all of that and just preach the lesson." All right. Hebrews 11 and verse number 16 is where we need to go. Thank you, baby. As I close, and I'm closing. As I close, I want you to look with me at several verses. And I'm going to look at the seven churches of Asia. Now, I want you to remember, when you get to heaven, you'll see the throne. When you get to heaven, you'll have access to it. You have access to God. When you get to heaven, you'll be able to have intimacy with him. You'll see his face, and there will be fellowship with him, even to the point where the Lord will literally wipe away the tears from your eyes. And that's a wonderful thing. This idea of fellowship with him, I'm telling you, it's always been meant to be in heaven and not here on this earth. God never intended for us to be away from him. God has always intended for us to dwell with him. And I'm gonna make this last statement to you. When you get to heaven, you're going to be given authority and power. That authority and power, ladies and gentlemen, is power and authority even above angels. And you know, when you get to heaven, that's why he says you will reign forever and ever. Reign means rule. When you get to heaven, you're going to be a ruler. When you get to heaven, you're going to be a coexist in the authority of Jesus Christ himself. That's why the Bible said we will reign with him. That's why he keeps using the word reign. No angel reigns. No angel has that kind of authority. But when you get to heaven, you will be even above the angels. While you're on earth, you're made a little lower than the angels. But when you get to heaven, you will be above the angels because you will be ruling with Christ. Have you never read the scripture where the Bible says you have been faithful over a few things? Now I make you what? Ruler over what? Many. And so when I get to heaven, may I just one more time? All right. I'm trying to get permission. One more time. I just want to make this point. I'm going to say, "Lord, if you're going to let me reign, may I have about 10,000 angels that I can reign over and control?" Amen. All right. Well, okay. All right. All right, she told me to stop. Okay, that's all I'm going to do. And then I'm moving on. But all I'm trying to show you is that, brother, you're going to be somebody when you get to heaven. Right now, you're nobody. Amen. But when you get to heaven, somebody say, "Well, you know, Brother Gibbs, Revelations 2:7. I just want to show you this, and then I'm through. Revelations 2:7. You can put that on the screen. Now watch this. Watch this. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the what? Churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the what? Tree of life, which is where? In the midst of the what? Paradise of God. Now that's what he said to the brethren at Ephesus. Look what he said to the brethren at Smyrna in Revelation 2:11. He that hath an ear, let him what? Hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Here's our word again. He that overcometh shall what? Not be what? Hurt with the what? Second death. Now that's where the devil and all of his, those fallen angels and those who are not faithful, who don't exercise faith in Christ and who don't accept him, and those that are immoral, those are the individuals that will be in the second death. But those of us who have an ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, those of us who are overcomers will not be hurt by the second death. Listen to what he said to the church at Pergamos in Revelation 2:17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that, here's our word again, overcometh, will I give to what? Eat of the what? Hidden manna, and will give him a what? A white stone, and in the stone a what? A new name, what? Written, which no man knoweth, saving he that what? Receiveth it. Now, I'm glad to know that I'm going to have another name other than Shelton when I get to heaven, because there's a whole lot of Sheltons around here now, and you don't know. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a name that the Lord going to give me. Amen. And it's going to be unique to me. And that's, and to you too, those of you who are faithful and overcomers. Now watch this, to Thyatira. The Bible says in Revelation 2:26, watch this. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to the end, to him will I give what? Power over the what? You see what I'm saying? He gonna give you what? Power over the what? Nations. And he shall what? And he shall what? Rule them with a what? Rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter. They shall be broken to shivers, even as I received of my what? Father. Now, notice the power that he's going to give to those who are his people. That's why I tell you, when you get to heaven, you're not just going to be singing now and just, you know, all around the throne and then leave there and go home and then come back and then, no, you're going to have a job. Amen. You're going to be working. All right. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the churches. Now watch what he says to the church of Sardis. Revelation 3:5. Watch what the Bible says. He that overcometh, the same shall be what? Clothed in what? White raiment. And I will not what? Blot his name out of the what? The book of life. And I will what? Confess his name before my Father and before his what? Angels. You see what I'm saying? Before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Look at what he says to the church of Philadelphia. Revelation 3:12. The Bible said, him that overcometh will I make a what? Pillar. Pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out and will what? Write what? Upon him the what? The name of my God and the what? The name of the city of my God, which is what? New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will what? I will write upon him what? My new name. And now look what he says. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Laodicea, watch what he says in chapter 3, verse number 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to what? Watch this now. Will I what? Grant to do what? In my what? I told you. Even as I what? Also what? Overcame and am what? Set down with my Father in what? His throne. I'm telling you, the angels have never been asked to come sit on a throne. He that hath an ear, let him what? Hear what the Spirit saith unto the what? Churches. Now, I just want you to compare what you got now with what he's going to give you then. And if I were you, I would strive to make heaven my home. Because it's a throne of grace that God is calling us to. We will find mercy and we will find the help that we need in our time of need. May God bless you. May God keep you. If you're here and you're not a child of God, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh, these are the ones who will receive these wonderful provisions that are in heaven. If you're not a child of God, I ask you to become. You've heard the gospel. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sin. Confess Christ to be the Son of God. Buried with him in the water grave of baptism, which his Father and Mrs. said, if you do this, then God will write your name in heaven on the book of life. You stay faithful to him to the end. And all of these blessings, all of these provisions, God will provide for you at that day. May God bless you. Let's go to heaven. Come right now while together we stand and sing, Will You Come?
Hold him up and tell Jesus.